All right, it's good to be here. Open your Bible, if you would, to 1 Samuel and find chapter 30. Has been a great 2 weeks for me. Personally, it's been a blessing and real opportunity to minister the Word on many occasions over the last 2 weeks. And it's been great, and I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to have been here. And of course, I guess I was here a week or two ago in the evening, I believe, and I have that written down somewhere. So I'm going to preach the same message so you'll get it this time. I'm kidding, okay? All right, I apologize for getting in here late this morning, but Brother Nathan wouldn't let me out of my room till 15 minutes before time to leave. So I'm kidding again. But I won't be kidding now. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David is in distress, and rightfully so. I want to speak to you down these thoughts of a verse. Let me see exactly where the verse is here. I'm going to read a good bit of the chapter. Look at verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. That would tend to put you in distress when you're going to be stoned, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And we'll talk about that. But then the statement, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So let's think on this ministry to ourselves of encouraging ourselves when we are distressed, and how to do that, and where it comes from, and what ensues when we learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let me pray. Father, God, every one of us in this room gets distressed. We get discouraged. We have hard seasons that you allow to come into our lives to make us more like your Son. We thank you for those seasons, though they're hard at times to endure. But Lord, you have given us all we need to do this very ministry David's described as doing here, and that's to encourage ourselves in thee. So show us things about that in these moments that we have, and we'll thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we ask this, amen. What time are we done here, brother?
10:30.
Oh, yeah. Is that soon enough? When's church start? Okay, then. All right, 10:30, the floor opens, so we'll be sure to...
The bell
actually will come in play, okay?
It's over after that.
Okay. All right, and I imagine your looks will start changing at that point toward... Yeah, you'll give me the universal signal, amen? All right, let's just read some. Verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. That's where they had moved to in David's running from Saul, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Of course, these are the families of the men who were living there with David. Of course, David's family as well. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. Imagine coming home from a trip and finding out that your whole family had been kidnapped by a bunch of mongrels. this would be a hard spot. And so it is with David and his men. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Abinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's just stop there a moment and start there. We're going to use David as an example of this thing of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. As I prayed, everybody in this room comes upon hard times. Our Lord said that men that are born of women, they're a few days and full of what? Somebody blurted out, trouble. Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good description of life. The Bible describes life as that when we're born, the sparks fly upward. Jesus said that in the world we would have what?
Tribulation.
But then he said what? But be of good cheer, for anybody? I have overcome the world. Well, you see, there's a kind of a contrast there. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what's the key to being of good cheer if we're going to have tribulation? And the Lord has overcome the world. He overcame it, but sometimes we don't seem to be overcoming it. So the key is there, the only way we can have peace and joy and rest if we tap into our Lord, because He alone can give us joy in the overcoming of the world that He did. All right, well anyway, let's look at David's distress here. We all get in discouragement, despondency, distress, a bad spirit, broken hearts. It comes. It's life. Welcome to the game. This is living. And it comes. And when it comes, many times it comes in bucket loads. I've known people that it seems like after one trial, boom, another one hits. And honestly, I don't understand somehow how that some families and some individuals just seem to be set apart for suffering. And then others of us, it seems, we go long periods of the Lord's goodness and life's easy, but then there's periods of suffering. I don't know how all that works out, but I know this, all men get in distress. All people get in dark periods, whether it's just for an hour or so after somebody said something, or you get news of something, or something happens. Distress comes, and we need to learn how to deal with it. Well, David's distress was manifold, okay? I'm not going to take time because of the pastor's warning. I don't want to get the universal signal there. But David had been really, if you would, messing up here. We could go back to 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. If you want to look, you can, but I'm just going to tell you what's there, basically. David decided that because Saul was so set on destroying him that he really had no hope, really, just anymore, other than to flee over to the Philistines, which is just totally out of character with David. He'd slain many of them, and they were the enemies of Israel. So just to try to preserve his own life without really checking with the Lord, I know you've never done anything like that, but David did. He just decided on a course of action to save his own hide, really didn't check in with the Lord on that, and he goes over to the Philistines. He ends up in Ziklag. He's on a pattern that's going to lead to real trouble. And of course it does. He even goes with the Philistines to fight Israel, but thankfully the Lord intervened and turned him back through the spirits of the captains of the Philistines. But he comes back to Ziklag, and we've read what he encounters. All the wives are gone. The children are gone. The Amalekites have burned the city. He's now in danger of being stoned by his own men. And so the list of friends he has has shrunk down to zero, unless, of course, he had his own chihuahua. Amen. I'm just being kidding, because I've made a new friend over the last day over at the Fry's house. In fact, eating breakfast, the thing was sleeping between my two bare feet. So that dog's taking it. But I doubt David had a chihuahua that was comforting him. He has no friends. I mean, even his closest men, the men that were willing to hazard their lives for victory for David, now they're speaking of stones. Maybe some of them are gathering some rocks. And his own heart's broken as his wives are gone. His family's been taken by this bunch of animals. And now his own men are gathering rocks. And certainly having led the people into that mess, there's a burden upon God's men when they are responsible for having misstepped and not only caused great distress for their own life, but now they've, by their not following what the Lord was doing, they've brought distress on others. And I think in some measure, all of us, if we'll be honest at times, face this kind of thing. I know every father at times makes some missteps in the way the family's run, or he presents himself, or the way he disciplines his children or doesn't discipline them, lets things go he shouldn't have. And down the road in life, you see that some of the mess-ups you've had have affected others. And this is a burden. Pastors face this all the time. If a pastor misreads what the Lord's trying to do or takes a wrong move at times, pastors are human people. And then if they see the church suffer for it, it's like, ugh, you know, I not only missed it, but I've affected negatively the lives of people. So we all face distress. And in some vein or another, most people end up leading in some fashion or level in their life. So the normal aches and pains of everyday life, just physical fatigue and physical illness, lack of rest, the disappointment of things that have gone on in family. All of this weighs on us humans and can lead to the point where we are just distraught. We are depressed, distressed, however you want to put it. And then if you're a Christian living for the Lord, put on top of that the opposition of the world. And so, you know, it's very understandable that Christians, the best of Christians, at times get in very distressed frames of spirit and mind. This happens. Life happens. The consequences of our own missteps, the assaults of others, the opposition of the world, the cares of daily life, the burden even of getting old and your body breaking down. I'm telling you, as you can see before you, I'm not a young pup anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I have struggled with my spirit at times in this thing of getting old. I mean, I know you won't believe it, I used to be Tarzan, okay? I mean, I could do just about anything and nothing scared me and nothing was too hard and I was powerful and, you know, throw a log on my shoulder or whatever and march up out of the woods. But now, as everything's breaking down, sometimes my spirit, I'm frustrated. Because in my mind, I'm 25, and you can tell that by the way I preach, amen. I'm in my 20s or late teens up here, but from here down, it's bleak, okay? So I get distressed and can let my spirit get away. But, you know, David's distress is not just with himself and what's going on, as I've mentioned. He is the one who... I think most commentators and Bible scholars would agree, this David's being with the Philistines was not good, okay? This was not led of the Lord. Earlier in his running from Saul, and you can check this out in earlier chapters, David was faithful to consult the Lord in different situations. Back in chapter 23 is this good example. Verse 2, 23, chapter 23, 1 Samuel, verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Here he is checking in with his Lord before he waged war. And of course, the Lord said unto David, go, smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Well, drop down verse 10, then said David, this after he's taken Keilah, the God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. This is the way you and I and David should live life. And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. So he knew to take other action. So this is how the Christian life, the life of anyone who walks with the Lord, is supposed to operate. We don't just march on our own thoughts and whims. We check with headquarters. We check with our Lord, our King. But David had failed in this. In this case, we find him in chapter 30 and just prior chapters. So he's done this on his own. He's aligned himself with the Philistines. He's gotten his men all involved. It's because of David, you could say, it's because of David, every man's wife is gone. It's because of David, all their kids are missing. And you can imagine the distress that a man would feel this way. They had been loyal to him, or they wouldn't have been there. They trusted him. They entrusted their own lives, the lives and welfare of their families, to this man, and he had failed them. And now it's come home to roost. They're standing there looking at burning rubble and the absence of all their families, everything they held dear. So this is a pretty dark hole that David's in. But this is life. This is life. So let's get to the good part where it says in verse 6, I love the verse, David was greatly distressed. I mean, yeah. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And then the great statement, and it's so short compared to all the other detail, but in contrast to his great distress, he took some action. And this is what we want to learn to do. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What a wonderful breath of air in this otherwise pretty grim picture. Did he go off for the afternoon and get away from the guys who were piling up stones? Did he say, look, I've got to have a break, and he went out in the field and got behind a boulder and sat down and put his head between his hands and start weeping, not so much over his distress over losing his family now, but over the mess that he had led into and over the fact that he had deserted his Lord in inquiring. Did he get right with God? How did he encourage himself in the Lord? How do we do that? I mean, how do I do that? When I get frustrated with my bad back and my bad knees and artificial joints and a heart condition and atrial fibrillation and all this stuff that comes with old age. When I get depressed and upset that I can't do it, what do I do? Well, I don't go get behind a rock unless I'm in the woods, but I'll go get in my recliner and turn on some soft music and get my Bible out, and I'll get realigned, amen? And I'll go fix things, if you would, in the Lord. And I think that's what David's doing here. It's interesting, we're not told how he did this. We have to try to surmise from the rest of Scripture how David went about encouraging himself in the Lord. Well, turn over to Psalm 25 for a moment. I think, you know, when they're trying to figure out crimes, they come upon a crime scene and there's carnage and destruction, and the detectives or whatever are trying their best to ascertain who did this or what are the signs here. I think in the same way, when we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord and we're really not given anything else, then if we're going to figure out how did he encourage himself? What did he do? Well, check that individual's MO out. What was his modus of operation? How did he normally get right with God or encourage himself? How do we do that when we're in a bad, bad spot? Well, Psalm 25 is a psalm of David. And I think, and of course, there's many, many psalms here that are written by David. So I just picked Psalm 25 out because it's pretty clear. Here we have David speaking to the Lord, getting right with the Lord, trusting the Lord, confessing to the Lord. And so I want to give you three quick thoughts from Psalm 25 on how he went about encouraging himself and how we can do this in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Look there at verse 18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Well, folks, this is where we start. Not all of our troubles are self-induced like David's was here. But we do at times, many times in my case, if I get in a black hole, I can look back, if I'm honest, and see perhaps where I marched without the Lord or where I neglected my Lord, or I may be, in a sense, paying for one of my sins that I've brought upon myself. So anytime we're down and we're dark and we're in dismal spirits or situation, we first need to address this thing of our sin. Have I sinned? Where have I sinned? Did I depart from the course I should be on? Many times I'll find depressed or discouraged Christians, and it becomes clear when we talk that they've been out of the Bible for some time. Well, duh, you know, if you get away from the Scriptures on a daily basis, then when life starts popping you in the mouth, you're going to get down if you're not daily feasting on the truth of the Word. So David confesses his sin. But then secondly, he commits to the truth of God. And boy, this is where it's at. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. Free from what? Free from whatever the truth can liberate you from. And so we always need truth, always. And when we're down and in despair, the truth will always help us. Many times we're down because we're believing a lie or deception's crept in. And so the truth, like a compass, the truth always helps realign us with our Lord. Look at Psalm 25, look at verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me, verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Look at verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. So David, in distress, when he had sinned, his M.O. was to first confess his sin, admit his sin, and then ask God, Lord, give me the truth. Show me the truth. Well, I tell you what, when I get down and confess my sin and then ask God to share with me through his word, through his spirit, what is the truth that I need right now? What truth am I missing? What truth have I neglected? And without fail, the blessed Holy Spirit in his quiet way shares truth with me. And many times it's truth about my error or about my misunderstanding, or he reminds me of truth that he's already taught me that I have somehow not been dwelling on. I mean, truth is always a remedy. Well, and then finally, David expresses, once he's confessed his sin and got the truth of God back in the forefront, then David loves to express his confidence in God. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been of old. Okay? Once we get sin confessed, once we accept the way of the Lord and ask him for his truth, then we tend to think back of his past deliverances and we trust him. Look at verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. How could David say that? Well, David had killed bears. David had killed lions that were trying to attack the flock he was responsible for. And by faith in the Lord, he'd gone out and won the victory. And so now, sitting behind a boulder outside of Ziklag, with the smoke of Ziklag curling up behind him and his men piling up rocks, he could say, Lord, you can deliver me. You can deliver me, even though things look bleak. Well, this was David's M.O., and certainly it needs to be ours, to go to the Lord when we're down. There's no other place to really go but to the Lord. Because honestly, friends at real dark times, it's good to have friends, but honestly, friends can't really help us. They can, but they can't. You understand what I'm saying? When you're grieved deeply over the loss of a loved one, or you're just grieved over a really bad situation, it's nice to have the pastor come up and hold you and pat you on the back and give you a verse. It's nice to have friends come over and bring a meal. All of this is wonderful, and it's used of the Lord. But there's no substitute for what the Lord can do himself when we get alone with him. So, anyway, son, that clock's got, that thing's on steroids, brother. That thing moves like lightning up there. Brother Nathan, get up and rewind that thing back a little bit. Look there at verse number 7 in our chapter. And I don't have much time to do this, and that's fine. But after David encourages himself in the Lord there, it's wonderful. And I would encourage you, maybe even this afternoon, read the rest of the chapter, because David gets up from behind that boulder, marches back into Ziklag, Maybe all the guys are standing by their two piles of rocks waiting on him. And he leads them in battle after he got his encouragement from the Lord. Again, just starting in verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. That's how they talk to God. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. Ah, now we're back cooking with gas. Now we're back doing what's right. See, he had joined the Philistines without really going to the Lord. But now, having reaped what he sowed, he's going to get back doing things correctly. And so he inquires, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, that is the Lord, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And I don't have time, but he went and he did indeed find them through the help of a servant that they captured. And he pressed the battle with his men. They won the victory. And the men that had a pile of rocks waiting on him at Ziklag were now again by his side in combat and doing valiantly. They had a great victory. They recovered their families. They recovered great spoil. So God uses down and out servants once they realign themselves. Peter's another great example. You know, denied that he knew the Lord. And then the Lord dealt with him by the seaside after ascension or a resurrection. And so who's standing up with his ears back on Pentecost preaching the word? It's Peter. Isn't that what a contrast? Weeping and then preaching. And of course, the Lord used Peter to start the church. So there's life after distress if we realign ourselves. And I love the story here. On the way back with the spoils, they had to leave 200 men, and they were back by the brook Bezor, I believe it is. And when they came to the brook, David gave them of the spoils. And some of the Pharisees, not literally, but the Pharisaical types in his army said, they ought not give them nothing. They stayed here, and we went to fight. And brother, I've often thought, there's no rest in the pastorate. Amen. Once you get a good victory, right after a good victory, somebody's whining. And so David handles that boldly and then comes back and spreads the spoil among all the tribe of Judah. It's just a great account of utter despair and complete victory. So friend, if you're down today, if you're in despair, it's very likely that some are here that are really put out and life's been hard, and for others it will get hard. There's victory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time and the word. Use thy word in our lives. And Lord, in the service that's upcoming, we pray your power. Lord, I ask for your freedom to preach, your anointing. And Lord, most of all, use your word in our lives. And when we are distressed, help us to realign ourselves with thee. Thank you for the example you've recorded of David and of Peter. And Lord, help us to have our own testimonies of the times you've lifted us and used us again after we had failed you. We love you, Lord, this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor, the bell ring yet?
I don't think so.
Oh.